Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. Together we dive into the world of sci-fi and science fiction. From episodes of Star Trek, Star Wars, to The Walking Dead, Resident Evil, all the hot new science fiction movies from the back doors of Marvel or DC. The Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. You'll never look at science fiction the same way again.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay, back for another episode of the GSMC Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. So, we have a fun, wonderful episode for you today, with many more wonderful, cool subjects that have come out. And the first one I'm just going to jump right in there is DreamWorks did a little film, a number of years ago now, called Kung Fu Panda. It was one of those films where, you know, it was different. It had a very star-studded cast. You know, Jack Black, Dustin Hoffman. I want to say James Hong was in it. You know, who else? Seth Rogen, Jackie Chan. There was. It was a very Lucy Liu. Angelina Jolie. Very big. Just very, very big cast, right? And the basic gist of this story is, you know, they're looking for the dragon warrior, and Po, played by Jack Black, an overweight panda, who's always dreamed of being a part of the Furious Five, but he's an overweight panda, ends up, you know, getting picked by Master Oogway, you know, which is this really ancient, very wise turtle, right? And he ends up being the dragon warrior, and of course, everybody's like, wait, he's going to be the dragon warrior when, you know, all he's usually does with his father is just, you know, make noodles. That's all he does. That's all he's ever known to do, you know, in his father's restaurant. And, there's this evil guy called Tai Lung who, you know, was this horrible, horrible threat to China, and he gets out and it's up to Po to stop him. And they did a total of three movies. I actually think all three of the films are pretty good. Although if I were to pick a favorite, I kind of like how three goes, and they were all pretty wildly successful, made a pretty good chunk of money. There was Kung Fu Panda, Kung Fu Panda 2 and 3. 2, you know, we find how fireworks was made, and there's a new foe there for him to fight in 3. It's a stronger foe, voiced by J.K. Simmons, and in the end, you know, Poe gets picked to be the new, master. Pretty much. He gets, you know, Master Oogway's staff and all of that. And so Poe has come a long way from the first film to the third film. In between the films for a while, between I think it was either 1 and 2 or 2 and 3, there was a show called, I believe, The Legends of Awesomeness, I think was what it was called. Mind you, I have not watched it, so don't quote me on the name. But there was that for, I think, at least a few seasons. And I'm not sure if it was on Netflix or if it was on something else. I'm really not sure. But that was around for a while. And so there's been a lot of different Kung Fu Panda things there over the years. And like I said, I'm a fan of the Kung Fu Pandas. I really like them. You know, I've really, really, really enjoyed 1. It's a great film. It's got a lot of cool twists and turns and surprises. 2 is in the same way. And just, the cast is really great together. They clearly have a lot of fun together working on these films, and there's really cool action scenes there. You know, there's a lot of really cool just everything I really enjoy about it. I can't really knock this series. And I like how 3, you know, did a good job of kind of ending the story of, you know, Po the Panda, or at least so it was to be believed. And honestly, I was going to bring this up, I want to say an episode or two ago, but other kind of more pressing topics came up. So, at New York Comic Con, which was only about a couple weeks ago now, before this, news came out that there was going to be a new Kung Fu Panda show coming to, I believe, Amazon Prime, actually. So, not Netflix, Amazon Prime. And it had been announced, you know, like, Po's going to find, there's going to be, like, 4 scrolls, something found like that, by 4 young pandas, I want to say in his village, who all gain kind of mystical powers, and it's up to Poe to train these ninjas. That's what it's up to, or these ninjas in training might be the best way to say that. And so, you know, I had gotten the news of that for a while ago, and I was like, I'm excited for this, but there hadn't even really been a release date yet. So, again, at New York Comic Con, they gave us our first trailer, our first look at this show. And like I had said, since Kung Fu Panda 1 to Kung Fu Panda 3 and now, Poe has changed a lot. Remember in 3, Poe thought he was the last panda in all of China. What ended up happening was they just had moved to a further away village. That's what ended up happening. They'd kind of been pushed out of China. So Poe finds out his family is still alive. You know, there's a lot more pandas around than he thought there was. And, you know, so he kind of has, you know, everything he thought he was always missing in his life. But he technically has two dads because there's his birth father, then the one, you know, voiced by James Hong, who raised him. And he's done all this great stuff for China. And I guess some new threat is coming, as far as we can tell, as I can tell in the trailer. And it's up to Poe to kind of really take on his first students. Because the three films, he was always kind of growing as a master. That's what was happening. And the first one, he had to come to the grips that, hey, you know what? You are the ninja warrior. The dragon warrior. That's what you are. Okay, whether you don't believe it, definitely no one else believes that you're going to be it or that you have the potential to be it, but you have to believe it. You have to, you know, believe that, hey, this is the destiny you have to do. And in Kung Fu Panda 2, you know, he kind of learns, you know, to kind of be like water and take things easy, you know, and not always be as gung-ho, take it, like, you know, take down everything in your sight. And in 3, again, you know, he's dealing with this new threat that comes around that, you know, is taking out a lot of Kung Fu masters, a lot of people who are better masters than Poe is. And in the end, you know, kind of like reaching his precipice of his training, really, is what happens. Hence why he becomes a master. But like I said, since the third one, to my knowledge, he hasn't taken on any students yet. So it looks like from the trailer that, yeah, he's going to be, you know, taking on his first four students. It's up to him. It is his destiny to train these four little pandas. You know, this is what he's meant to do. And it looks like it's going to be actually a lot of fun, because basically what's going to have to happen, because in Kung Fu Panda, the first one, you know, Master Shifu kind of had to come to the, you know, idea that, or the reality that, you know what, the way you train the Furious Five is not how you can train Poe. It's not the way you can do it. If you want to train Poe to be the Dragon Warrior, which is your destiny, whether you like it or not, you have to find a way to train him differently and fast, because Tai Lung breaks out of prison. He's on his way there, right? So this show is going to play on that to an extent, but to the level where it's like, hey, you know, now Poe has to find a way to train these four fast, because the new threat that's coming, you know, is dire and dangerous and a threat to China, and he's the only one who can train them. So we get to see, you know, where they find the four scrolls, where they get these powers. We get to see a bit of him training them to, you know, start to get their powers. We get to see some really cool action scenes with them and the different powers they have. And it seems to me, just from what I can tell from the trailer, that Jack Black is very happy to get to play this character again. I think he's had a lot of fun playing the character because, you know, he did three movies and a TV show, cartoon show, I should say. And, yeah, my impressions of it are, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun show. I really do. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to do a show, and I don't think it's a crazy concept. And I think, really, just with how the Kung Fu Panda series has gone, I think it makes sense to go in this direction. You know, it's not an illogical direction. It's not an illogical choice or a crazy choice. I think it's a perfectly good idea. I want to say this show comes out in November. I want to say November 21st. And again, it's to Amazon Prime. So it's going to be an Amazon Prime exclusive show, kind of like how Rocky and Bullwinkle was. And I'm just going to guess it's 13 episodes. I really don't know. I know that most of these cartoon shows like to do like 10 episodes or something like that, usually about 20-something minutes each. And I would recommend, if you are a fan of the Kung Fu Panda movies, check this trailer out. It is on YouTube. And yeah, keep an eye out for this show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really excited for it. And really all I can really do is, if more news comes out about it, I'll be sure to bring it here for you guys. So we're going to take our first commercial break, and we'll be back with you back in a few moments with some more sci-fi news.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay bringing you some more sci-fi news. So if you've listened to this podcast before, since I've been hosting it, you might get an idea that I might be a gamer. You know, you might get that, you might catch that. You might see, oh yeah, you know, seems like Jay is a gamer. Looks like he's played, you know, his fair share of video games, you know, and he's big into said video games. So, yeah, so it sounds like he's a pretty big gamer. Yeah, it sounds that way. Well, if you think that, you'd be right. You know, I've played a lot of Nintendo games. I've been playing video games since I was like a kid. You know, I've been very big on Nintendo. Around my teens, I got into PlayStation. I have tried out the Xbox a bit here or there, but it just really isn't a system I like too much. It's not for me. But yeah, I've played my very good share of video games. And as a kid in the days of, you know, Nintendo, the original NES, by the way, not the classic, the original, and Sega Genesis were the games that were around. There were computer games, but they weren't at the level they are now. And, you know, there was a lot of games out there. One game that was out there, and it's very popular, and in my days as a kid, it was very, very difficult, was Castlevania. You know, where basically it was, I believe in the originals, it was Simon Belmont is pretty much, you know, going to try to stop Dracula and all his minions. That's basically what they've done in, over the years, a lot of games, many of them for a long time, were the, you know, the 2D side-scrollers, because that was just how the games went. I remember playing as a kid the, like, maybe first one or two of them, but they were very difficult. I got my butt kicked often, and it really just wasn't a series for me. You know, it just wasn't. Of course, we got in the 80s, late 80s, maybe even early 90s, we got Captain N, the Game Master, which had Simon Belmont on there, but we'll try to forget that because, yeah, I don't think that's how Simon Belmont usually was. You know, but this is a very popular series. They've done a lot of games over the years. I can't remember how long it's been since they've done a game, but I want to say they're still doing them. I don't know if they're on Nintendo anymore. They might have gone to, like, PlayStation now, maybe. I don't really know. But it's a very popular series, and it had to have been about a year or two ago now. They decided to do an animated series. Netflix actually did an animated series. And it turns out, I looked online this week, this show was like in development, you know, for a long, long time, like 5-10 years. They wanted to do this show and they wanted to try to bring it off the ground. And it just was having difficulties. And it wasn't until 2015 where Netflix was like, hey, we'll take that show. Sure, why not? And it was interesting because so this show went on Netflix. It only had like 4 episodes, which is pretty short for a Netflix show. And I'll let you know right now, it's very, very violent. It's very, very gory. Lots and lots of, you know, blood. So if you are not into those things, it's not a show for you. Mm-mm, it's really not. And, yeah, it's just a really, like, you know, crazy, violent, bloody show is just what it is. And I want to say I might have talked about this on here a little bit before, but now it's, you know, the embargo has been lifted. So, Yeah, so in the first season, again, you know, you basically, you get to see Dracula, you get to see, okay, why is Dracula, you know, mad at humanity? Why does he want to take them down? What's going on? And, you know, you get to meet, you know, Sypha and Trevor Belmont, which is, I think, one of the last lines of the Belmonts, and very different from, like, Simon and some of the other Belmonts, and Alucard. And so in season one of the four episodes, they're about 20-something minutes each, you know, they're on Netflix, you get to see, okay, what's going on here? What's happening? So in season two now, which I was lucky to get to watch the first so many episodes of, you know, we get to, first of all, it starts off where we see kind of another part of the story again of Dracula's wife, who was a human. And we get to see, like, you know, where she's, like, because she wanted to learn to be a doctor. And Dracula helps her become a doctor. He helps her, you know, teaches her, like, you know, technologies and sciences and things like that that have been forgotten. That, you know, helps her become a pretty good medicine person of sorts in her town. Now, we also get to see where, you know, the people from the church come and see her and call her a witch. And, you know, how dare she do this because this can't be, you know, normal, you know, human stuff, right? It's got to be evil stuff. And so we get to see, and then we get to see where, you know, Dracula, do we get to see, let's see, so we pretty much get to see that. And then it kind of goes into, you know, where, okay, we see Dracula and his generals. We get to meet his generals now. He has two human generals who just really aren't into humans at all. Which is interesting because they know that, hey, you know, basically at this point, Dracula is waging a war to wipe humanity off the face of the earth. That's what he's planning on doing. And they both have certain powers. Like, one of them can bring back the dead and turn them into, you know, his, you know, evil minions. And another one has a similar power to that. And we get to see these two characters, you know, the good sides of them, the bad sides of them, learn about their, you know, dark histories and why they are the way they are. And we get to meet some of his vampire generals, too. Which is really cool, and see how they're all different and why they're there, their reasons, things like that. And so the season starts off with that. We also get to see definitely a bit more of Trevor and Sypha and Alucard in action. So we get to see that. We get to see really where, you know, Alucard is kind of like, well, I don't really want to do this, but I have to because my dad has basically gone mad, which his dad is Dracula. And so that means that Alucard, if I'm not wrong, is half vampire, technically. And there's some really cool fight scenes of the three of them taking on a number of different monsters coming at them. One of the really cool moments of this season for me, it was in about the second or third episode, might have been closer to the fourth, is where you know, we go back to Belmont's house, where it turns out underneath the house, because the house itself has been ruined. You know, I believe at one time the church thought, you know, all the Belmonts must be, you know, evil sorcerers or warlocks or, you know, harbingers of the devil or something like that, too. Because, again, you know, well, they can't be, you know, they don't believe in God, or they can't be, you know, members. So they all got excommunicated. And we get to see underneath the house the, you know, like this stockpile of, like, knowledge and weapons and hidden, you know, and hidden tools and items. And it's really, really cool. It's actually amazing how big it is. The library itself is unbelievable. It's like, man, there is, like, just, you could take years and years reading all this knowledge. And it seems like the Belmonts have, you know, been doing this for a long time. So you get to see a bit more of their history. And for probably the first time of the show, you get to see Trevor happy too, because he finds a weapon, you know, a special kind of stuff called, like, Morningstar or something. And even Sypha says that, oh my God, is that Trevor smiling? So we get to see that. And really what this season, in a nutshell, at least what I've seen of it, is two things are going on. One, Dracula just wants to end his war. He wants humanity just gone. He's getting sick of the war. You know, he just wants it done. Some of his generals don't really believe in his method, so there's dissension going on with his generals and the way he's doing the war and how he's going to do the war. So there's that going on. There's a female vampire that comes in the mix that tries to throw her own, you know, disarray into the whole entire thing. And the basic gist for that is she had lived with, you know, a vampire, an old vampire before, who had gone mad and nuts, and she ended up killing him. So she was kind of like, you know, she saw the same in Dracula, which is why she kind of wanted to go her own way. And it's also Alucard and Sypha and Trevor finding a way to, you know, defeat Dracula, because they know it's not going to be an easy task. Not just be like, hey, you know, stake him in the heart until he's dead. No. It's going to be much more challenging than that. So that's another reason why they go to his family's, I think he called it like keep or something like that, is so they could find something that could help them, you know, make that a reality. And yeah, there's again a lot of good, really good fight scenes. There's a lot of blood and gore and violence, and some interesting twists and turns along the way. Like I said, the two human characters definitely have more than it seems going on to them. They've got nice, you know, layers and dimensions to them, so they're not just, you know, cookie cutter humans. They're the way they are for a reason. And it was also really cool. There's an interesting twist in like the final episode I saw, which isn't the final episode of the season, by the way, because the season is 8 episodes from the 4 episodes. So is where, you know, like, you know, deception happens and things don't go the way they are supposed to, because they decide, okay, we'll go to this town finally, so this one vampire and his army will be happy, and things don't go as planned. And at the same time, you know, Sypha does something that is going to definitely change how things are going to go. And so if you don't know, at least on this cartoon, I don't know if in the video games is true, but at least in the cartoon, Dracula can make his castle move. He can, you know, move it literally from place to place to place. You know, he's got some kind of cool, looks like a D20 die. It's probably not what it is, but that's what it made me think of. And funny enough, I don't even really play D&D that much, but that's where my mind went, so... Yes, I am a nerd. I belong in this podcast. But anyway, so yeah, so it looked like that, and he uses it to make his castle jump from place to place to place. So yeah, so he's able to do that, and it makes traveling and it's a big castle, by the way. It's really, really huge. So we do get to see a bit more of his castle this season, and like I said, it's a very chaotic but very interesting season. And this hasn't been confirmed by Netflix, but I did hear there might be a season 3 already, and frankly, I hope so. Heck, I hope, you know what, do 12 episodes, or do, like, you know, 10. I'd love more episodes, because I was able to get through the episodes I was given quite easily, and I really enjoyed them. I'm like, this is a really good show, I think. And if you haven't watched it, I'd highly recommend it. You know, I think even Netflix was kind of surprised how well season 1 did. And I think this will only continue that trend going. I really do believe that. Now, of course, this isn't on Netflix yet. It's going to be on Netflix on Friday, October 26th. So only in about 5 days. And like I said, it's just 8 episodes, or about 20-something minutes each. And yeah, if you haven't watched it, I would definitely suggest watching the first 4, because I made sure to do that again. It didn't take me too much time, but it was just kind of nice to, like, okay, what happened before? All right, okay. It helped me. So I would recommend it probably. I don't say you have to do it, but, you know, it's not too much to catch up on. So, yeah, I would say if you haven't watched it, I'd highly recommend it. And keep an eye out for season 2 in about 4 or 5 days. All right, so other than that, we're going to take ourselves another little short break, and we'll be back in a few moments with more sci-fi news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay, back for some more sci-fi news just for you. So, I want to, like, you know, I talked about this a little bit last week, Star Wars Resistance, and I was able to watch the second episode, but before I get into that, let me give you a little bit of a more backstory, official backstory about the show, because I know that I talked about the pilot episode last week, but I didn't go really big into the premise of the show. So if you're curious, so the basic, it's an animated series that, of course, is set before the events of The Force Awakens, but it follows Kazuda Ziyano, which is usually called Kaz on the show. So he's a young pilot who gets recruited by Poe Dameron, who, you know, has been in Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Oscar Isaacs, you know, was him in the movie, and he also voices him on here. And BB-8, you know, he's tasked pretty much with a top secret mission to spy on the growing threat of the First Order. And he ends up on the Colossus, which is a little aircraft refueling platform on an outer rim water planet, basically. You know, he works as a mechanic and lives with one of Poe's longtime friends, Yeager, who happens to be a veteran pilot who operates a starship repair shop run by his crew, which is Tam, Niku, and their old battered astrometric droid, Bucket. So, and of course his quest is he wants to become the best pilot in the galaxy. He has, you know, BB-8 is there, like I said. You know, he's trying to face stormtroopers, pirates, and while he's trying to, you know, pretty much keep his secret mission, he doesn't really tell his newfound family, besides Yeager knows about it, but I think that's the only one. So that's the basic premise of this show. It, like I said, it takes place just 6 months before Force Awakens. So it's not a huge leap from you know, like the 30-year gap that it could have been. It's just the way it goes. So yeah, so I was able to watch recently the the second episode, which is called Triple Dark. So what's the basic premise? The basic premise of this one is that Kaz and BB-8, you know, they happen to uncover information on a upcoming pirate attack, you know, and he has to try to find a way to stop it. So that's the basic premise of it. And I have to say, you know, for a second episode, it was kind of weak. It wasn't that strong. I mean, I don't personally like Kaz too much, nor do I, you know, like feel much sympathy for him, or, you know, he's kind of a weird character, you know, and maybe it was just the episode. I don't know. Like, I watched this episode, and it still bugged me with the faces. The faces look really poorly hand-drawn, and it's still kind of weird to me that the show is cell animation, not computer animation, like Star Wars Rebels or like Star Wars Clone Wars. It's really weird. It's like that. But like I said, the ships look really cool. The location looks cool. The aliens don't look too bad. The robots don't look too bad. I mean, there's some cool stuff on this show, but like this episode, so basically, like, you know, he finds this thing going on because the Triple Dark is a storm. That's what it basically is. It's a giant storm coming. And I guess when said storm comes, it's easier for people to, you know, sneak in and, like, they believe someone's going to come and attack, you know, this this Colossus, which is basically just like a giant little hangar just surrounded by water. And there was always the fear in the first episode of getting thrown overboard, and you get thrown overboard, there's giant creatures that'll just eat you in one gulp. That's basically what happens. It's kind of like on Star Wars Episode 1 when they go underwater to the Gungan city. It's kind of a similar concept. Really, really big creatures, really, really big fish eat you in one gulp, basically. And so, you know, at first he tries, like someone comes into the shop. He thinks he accidentally hears him talk about this upcoming attack, you know, so, or he thinks the guy's suspicious. So he's trying to, you know, Kaz is trying to, like, you know, make people believe, hey, this is going on. This might be coming. Danger, danger. And no one listens to him. And then, you know, the Triple Dark comes. He finds out what the Triple Dark is. And he finds out, you know, we need to stop these pirates from, you know, coming and, you know, doing damage to this place. And that's basically the gist of the whole episode, basically. There isn't much to it besides that, you know. And I don't know, like, Kaz is just kind of a really awkward character to me. He's not that strong of a character. I don't really even know if he should be the main character of this show. I think it would have been better if, like, hey, have Poe Dameron or maybe someone else be the main character. I don't know. I just personally, like, you know, I just don't find him to be that likable of a character. Because, like, I remember Ezra on Star Wars Rebels, I liked right away. You know, he was someone where it's like, hey, you know, he had lost his family. He was on this, you know, planet that was, you know, like, had empire everywhere. And he wanted to do something to try to change it, where, like, Kaz is just like, okay, yeah, he wants to be this great pilot, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like he's this, like, you know, character I want to root for, or, you know, like, want to see him succeed and do all. I don't know. I mean, I just can't get too into this show. I just can't. I don't know why. Because, if you've listened to this, like, you know, podcast before, I'm a Star Wars fan. I've watched many, many a Star Wars thing. I really have. And I've liked most of the Star Wars things I've seen. But this show, this episode at least, didn't make me love this show. It didn't make me go, oh my god, this show is so awesome now. I want to watch the rest of the episodes. I can't wait to see what happens next. Not really. I get it's only the second episode, but I've watched a lot of shows. And you know what? If it's a good show, at least as I see it, it does grip me sometimes early on, like on the first or second episode. Like even the first episode of Star Wars Rebels, you're like, hey, you know what? Okay, I want to see what happens next. You know, I really do. So I don't know. I mean, it's not bad, but there just is. Like the same problems I had with the pilot, I have with this. And it just seemed like for a second episode, it wasn't as strong as it should have been, you know? And the supporting characters are kind of weird, too. They just are. I mean, there's like this like alien who is trying to be his friend, who's just a really weird, awkward guy. You know, Bucket, I don't think we even really see much of Bucket in this second episode. We see BB-8, which, don't get me wrong, it's great to see BB-8. BB-8's a really cool droid, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Bucket is supposed to be a part of their crew, and we don't see Bucket, I don't think, hardly at all, this next episode, you know? And, I don't know, it just seems like, at least from this episode, like, you know, Kaz is just kind of like this weird, awkward character who no one believes, and he's trying to say he's a mechanic, but it's very clear he doesn't know what he's doing when it comes to mechanic stuff, and I don't know why, like, hey, you know, if you're going to have to work on ships, maybe you should have, between episode 1 and 2, gotten some kind of training. So, at least by the end of this episode, he realizes, okay, if I want to keep my mechanic cover going, maybe I should learn how to be a mechanic. It's like, yeah, duh. Probably a good idea, Kaz. Maybe you should do that. You know, seriously, WTF. I mean, might not be a cuckoo crazy idea here. I don't think so. Maybe you should do that. You know, and I don't know. I mean, there's a cool little, like, you know, twist at the end where you find out, okay, he was right. The pirates were working for the First Order, and we get to see Gwendolyn Christie come back as Captain Phasma, which is really cool. But I don't know. Just like really, my verdict on this show so far, it hasn't really changed. It hasn't, like, you know, tipped the scale of, okay, now this is a great Star Wars show, and I can't wait to see what happens next. Just no, it hasn't happened yet. I haven't given up on this show yet. I haven't turned my back on it. I haven't said, you know what, forget you show, you know, I'm going to go watch something else. No, I still want to give it a chance, but all I can really say is I hope the next episodes are better. And you know what, I might next time even just do 2 episodes just to maybe go a bit deeper into it, because like there's only been 4 episodes so far. The 5th one airs, I think, either already has aired today or airs tonight. So there hasn't been a whole lot of episodes yet. There really hasn't. You know, so I don't know. I mean, like I said, I haven't written it off yet, but it hasn't tipped the scale for me either. So definitely I'll definitely bring up more of the future episodes, and hopefully it does tip the scale for me, because like I've said on previous episodes, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff coming out. Heck, like, you know, next year they're doing a live-action Star Wars show that Jon Favreau is doing called The Mandalorian. And I think that sounds like a really awesome idea. Again, like I've said in the past, we've gotten a better, like, you know, taste of the Mandalorians themselves on Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. So, yeah, I just hope that, like, you know, because I want to like this show. I do, but so far, I just don't. So far, I'm just not blown away by it. I'm like, oh my God, this show's amazing. No, I'm not in that place yet. So we'll see if that changes or if I do end up writing this show off, because I've done that with shows in the past, and if the scale doesn't tip soon, it probably will happen for this show. That's just the facts. So, other than that, I hope you've had a wonderful time listening to all the cool sci-fi topics I have brought to you this week. And it's time for us to bring this show to a close. Thank you so much for listening, and have yourself a wonderful rest of the day.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.